This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The fate of a new frac sand mining operation on the border of Monroe and Jackson counties rests with a judge in Madison. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has already given a permit to Atlanta, Georgia-based Meteor Timber to build the mine on a former cranberry farm. But that permit, which would allow the company to mitigate 16 acres of rare hardwood wetlands, is being challenged by the Ho-Chunk Nation and environmental groups, who question not just the environmental impact of the project, but the process that led to the permit. WPR's Rich Kramer recently spoke with people on both sides of the issue. John Bailing is an attorney with Weld Riley in Eau Claire and represents the interests of Meteor Timber. Amber Meyer-Smith is Vice President of Programs and Government Relations for Clean Wisconsin, based in Madison.
John Bailing, I'd like to start with you. First off, if you could walk us through the very basics, what does Meteor want to build and why does it need to take these wetlands?
Sure. Thank you and good morning. I think some background information is very important here because this is a unique matter with some very select but important facts. Owner of the property, lifelong farmer, 28-year military veteran, got into financial trouble. He has a $321,000 banknote which is due now. His banknote is an important part of this issue. It's really given the farmer three options. First, bank forecloses on the property. The farmer and his family effectively are homeless. Number two, clear cut the property. This allows him to stay in his home and pay off the bank note, but the DNR has always spoken and recently testified clear cutting will destroy hundreds of acres of wetland. He does have harvestable timber in the wetland that is available to him to cut at his option. Or third, pursue an option with Meteor Timber. So really, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is the wetland's going to be destroyed. It's just a question of what will the state get for it. If it's clear cutting, then it's the farmer stays in his home and the banknote's paid off. If it's a Meteor Timber option, then it comes with a lot of what I think are very good pluses for the state of Wisconsin.
And I just wanted to, for the actual industrial sand operation that the company wants to build, if you could, in a nutshell, what are they hoping to build? Because it's not just, we're not just talking about this one property. There are a couple other aspects to this. Is that right, Jeff Haling?
Very good question, Rich. What they're looking to build on site in the property in the town of Grant is a dry plant and a transload facility. All together, it's about a $75 million facility. This location is a good location as it abuts the Union Pacific main line. It's a main line that's very, very active. Mm-hmm. And also abuts the interstate. And then the mining portion will take place, and there's no wetlands impacted with the mining portion. Mining portion takes place just across into another township, the township of Knapp. So mm-hmm. The township of Knapp and Grant.
All right. Thank you for that. So, Amber Meyer-Smith, I wanted to ask you, before we get into the details, overall, what is the concern from the petitioners and from groups like Clean Wisconsin about the project?
Well, I think it's twofold. First of all, it is a process issue, and one of the big reasons that we're part of this case is because we're trying to protect the integrity of the process of how you get a permit to fill wetlands. What we, you know, routinely look at permits that come out of the DNR and make sure that the law is being followed and that the environment isn't being harmed. And this was one permit that we looked at, and there was just giant red flags associated with it. And so the public then, and public groups like ours, have a right to challenge that permit, make our case in front of an administrative law judge, and have him be an arbiter after, you know, hearing all the facts on both sides. What has happened here is, you know, a permit process that, again, had huge red flags associated with it, and then an attempt to bypass the permit process altogether through the legislature. So it leaves a bad taste in our mouth, and we definitely want to make sure that the door doesn't get opened here for everybody to get this kind of treatment, both from the DNR and from the legislature, in terms of how wetland fill permits come about. But then we're also concerned about the rare wetlands that are on this site. You mentioned it's a white pine, red maple wetland. It's an imperiled ecosystem. There are only 80 occurrences of this type of wetland complex around the world. So there are some of those rare qualities to this parcel that also make it worth protecting. And wetlands are extremely important. They provide critical habitat functions. They filter pollution out of our water. And they suck up floodwater. So wetlands are critical around the state.
And if I could follow up with the question, I mean, with all the descriptions that I've heard about this wetland, that it's very rare, that it you just don't find it very often in Wisconsin. Would any kind of development be acceptable on this property? I mean, currently, of course, part of it is a cranberry farming operation, but would any industrial use or non-industrial use be something that groups like MEA or Clean Wisconsin would protest just because of the quality of the wetland?
You know, I don't think I'd ever say no whole cloth, but, you know, it is that those are the kind of things that we talk about a lot, is what alternatives might look like and what other things might be acceptable for this property or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now, it's a rare property. There are other options for the project, we feel, that could still further the goals of economic development but protect the wetland.
We're talking about the Meteor Timber proposal to build an industrial sand mining facility in Monroe and Jackson County. Specifically, we're talking about a piece of property in Monroe County that would become a frac sand drying and rail loading facility. John Bailing, why does the facility need to be there on Marty Alexander's, which is A&K Cranberries? Why does it need to be on that property? Why couldn't any other alternative work?
A number of important things here. First, it's a transportation corridor. I mean, I've heard that a lot of times people consider, well, Monroe County is a place I recreate. I can't agree with that more. And I also believe that wetlands are critical. But here is a heavily used industrial rail line abutting a heavily used interstate. It's close to transportation. That is, I think, a critical piece of any economic development. And I think that there's no better economic development tool than putting heavy industry right into our transportation corridors.
Mm-hmm.
So the location of the main line, location of the interstate, I think that makes this a very good spot to choose to pick. And plus the fact that, again, the wetlands on the site are going to be destroyed. So it's a question of, for the state of Wisconsin, what are the benefits we can get from this? And I sure hope sometime this morning, Rich, we can talk a little bit about those benefits.
Yeah, we definitely will. We'll definitely get into that. I just wanted to follow up with you, John Bailing. So part of the wetland procedure, when you do apply for a wetland permit, you have to try to minimize, avoid, if at all possible. You got to look at alternatives. Meteor looked at alternatives, but again, as you mentioned, that this is the ideal spot. So what other alternatives were looked at, and why were they not ideal then?
That's a great question, Rich. One of the requirements of the Army Corps of Engineers permit is that you conduct an exhaustive review of alternatives. Meteor conducted that review. They submitted that documentation through a series of several meetings, several on-site meetings by the Army Corps of Engineers, and ultimately determined that alternative analysis had been satisfied and that this was a good spot, and issued the permit. Army Corps of Permits to fill a wetland are not easy to procure, but a Corps agreed with Meteor and issued the permit.
Amber Myers-Smith, what did you think about the, because that seemed to be one of the areas of contention among your group and MEA, was that you didn't quite buy into the alternatives analysis that was done by Meteor Timbers. Am I getting that right?
I would say that's right, and you know, again, for groups like ours that look at these permits pretty routinely, there were a lot of red flags here. The permit was written with an absence of facts to support a decision to allow them to fill it. And that is, again, a big part of why we're in this case, to protect the integrity of that process. And the alternatives analysis was one of the flawed parts, but also the plan to mitigate the site. Wetland mitigation is sort of a common thing that you do when you want to fill wetlands, and there's a determination that you don't have any other alternatives. But the mitigation has to work, and this is such a rare wetland that the science just is not showing, and the permit is not showing, that this wetland can be mitigated or that it can be restored. And that loss of one of what is only 80 occurrences of this type of wetland worldwide is very concerning.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the potential siting of a new frac sand mine by Meteor Timber on the border of Monroe and Jackson counties. The DNR has approved the company's plan to fill 16 acres of rare wetlands on a former cranberry farm. The permitting process is being challenged by environmental groups and the Ho-Chunk Nation. A judge is expected to make a ruling in the case this spring. WPR's Rich Kramer continues the conversation.
John Bailing, you mentioned the environmental benefits, and I've spoken with Chris Mathis, CEO for Meteor Timber, and you before on this, and I keep hearing that this project is a net benefit for the environment. On its face, it seems those are big shoes to fill, because we're actually talking about destroying a wetland that is rare. So how is this an environmental benefit, this project, in destroying this wetland?
Certainly. And that's a great question, and it's such a great environmental benefit. It takes a little bit of time to walk through it. First of all, when Meteor had approached the DNR, they proposed a preservation-only proposal where they would put approximately 450 acres into a conservation easement to be used by the public into the future forever. It was very similar to a permit that had been issued to another energy company in 2013 that had actually asked for more wetlands and had a smaller preservation proposal. But as we continued to work on the project, ultimately the 5,100-page application put in addition to the 450 acres I just mentioned, an additional 180-acre property, which Meteor happens to own right next door. And I would say both the 180 acres and the 450 acres have that very same qualities of that high-quality white pine, red maple environment. And so to say that, you know, we're destroying 16, in effect, hundreds of acres are going to be destroyed, whereas with Meteor, if the Meteor project goes through, it'd only be 16 acres. But additionally, in addition to what's the state's largest proposal ever in terms of preservation, Meteor has also agreed to create 47 acres of wetland directly on site. Also included is the, through the course of farming, the Rudd Creek is a local stream that's on the property. Through years of cranberry farming, it's been straightened. It currently doesn't host any type of trout species. So Meteor Timber has agreed to naturalize that stream and to restock it with native trout. Additionally, the plan calls for the implementation of what's referred to as ecosystems for reptiles. This is a unique channeling system which allows reptiles to continue to cross under the rail spur. No entity in the state's ever been required to put in this type of ecosystem or echo chambers. Rather, Meteor had to go out and research and adopt similar to a project that was in the state of New Jersey and bring it to Wisconsin. So again, the first time this has ever been done in Wisconsin, and the first time the DNR has ever asked. Also will be required, 8 other tunnel systems. Four of them are small, 2 feet by 2 feet. Four of them are large enough for large mammal passage. And again, those passages are all lighted 24/7 Again, a requirement of the DNR. Also required is on-site habitat improvement for snakes. There have been known to be some snakes in that area that are unique to Wisconsin. And so this also includes the recreation of improved snake habitat. So the, by the time you put it all together, it's 680 acres being forever preserved to the public. It's almost a 30 plus to 1 ratio. I've never seen in my 30 years of in and out being in and out of government, I've never seen an application this good, much less had the privilege of working on it.
And Amber Meyer-Smith, that sounds like a lot of good that can be done in this out of this project when we're talking about 16 acres. So what's the counterpoint? I mean, why isn't that a home run for the state?
Well, it's really deceptive to just, you know, do an acres-to-acres comparison because the things that we're talking about sometimes just aren't comparable. Again, there are only 80 occurrences of this type of wetland worldwide. It is an imperiled type of ecosystem. You can't really replace it. And so there are some, you know, really interesting things as part of the permit that are on the table. But an acres-to-acres comparison isn't really a fair way to look at it. Then there's also, again, the process and the process by which this permit got approved, not really meeting the requirements of the law. And that's a, yet another reason that we're in this case is to protect these rare wetlands and to protect the integrity of the process.
We're talking about a controversial frac sand operation that is planned and proposed for Monroe County and parts of Jackson County. It's the company is Meteor Timber, which is the largest private landowner in the state, has bought, I think, more than 60,000 acres within the last 10 years. And it turns out some of their property in Monroe County and Jackson County have valuable reserves of sand. The plan that they wanted, they've been working on for 2 years with the DNR, is would require the filling of 16 acres of wetlands on a piece of property in Monroe County that have been described as exceptional, high quality, and this is by DNR staffers. This wetland needs to be filled, Meteor says, because they want to build their industrial sand drying facility and rail loadout to connect it to markets where their sand is being used, specifically the Permian Basin in Texas. There is a challenge to the permit that was issued by the DNR last May. The challenge is being brought by a group of citizens from the Ho-Chunk Nation, and it is being litigated by Amber Meyer-Smith, among others. She is Director of Programs and Government Relations for Clean Wisconsin. Midwest Environmental Advocates is also in on that. John Bailing is on the other side of the courtroom. He is an attorney for Weld Riley Law Firm in Eau Claire, which is representing Meteor Timber. He joins me at our Eau Claire studios. Amber Meyer-Smith joins us at our Madison studios. Let's jump into process. We've already heard that word a couple times from Amber, and I wanted to kind of flesh out the process because I looked at the Meteor Timber permit that was issued in May, and also I've gotten some emails through an open records request as part of some reporting that I'm doing on this issue that seem to show that the DNR staff took a different approach in issuing this permit, in that they wanted more information, and they, as part of the permit conditions, they requested this information. So, Amber Meyer-Smith, is that unusual?
I think a lot of things about this process were very unusual, and we had the benefit of a recently retired DNR wetland permitter who had worked on this project testifying at the hearing a few weeks ago. And she really highlighted the way that the process was not followed here and was not typical at all of the way that DNR usually issues a wetland fill permit. Again, speaking to those red flags that we saw when we looked at the permit, she basically said that they were told, DNR was told that they were going to be issuing this permit. And she was restricted in what kinds of information she could request and how often she could visit the property. And this, again, is the DNR permitter. So those were some of the red flags that seemed obvious when we looked at the permit and one of the big reasons why we continue to oppose it.
The fact that the conditions included requests for information, is that unusual in its, on its face?
I'm not certain about that.
Okay.
There's a lot of back and forth, I think, in a permitting process with information requests. But, you know, I think that there was some limitations put on DNR staff about what they were asking for and getting.
Okay. Thank you for that. Now, John Bailing, the person that Amber's referring to is her name is Pat Trochelle, I believe is how you pronounce the last name. But when I was looking at these emails, I could tell that the DNR staff had some tight deadlines. There was a big application, as you mentioned, 5,000 pages, lots of back and forths. And it seemed like they were under great pressure to get this thing done as soon as possible. So what do you say to the petitioners and Amber Meyer Smith with regard to process and how this was, how this came about? Do you think that there was anything unusual about it?
I would say the only thing that was unusual is the massive supersized mitigation ratio, the extensive time period it took. Typically when I do permitting, I've permitted 65 of the 130 industrial mines in Wisconsin. Usually wetland permits, it'll take about 6 months. In this matter, it took 30 months. So 30 months, 5,100-page application. Most of the applications of file are well under 1,000 pages. And so it took a long time. And at the end of the day, it's an application that brings in an incredible economic benefit. I'm pretty safe saying that I don't think we'll ever see an application as a state ever again that's this good. And in terms of the credibility of the process, I guess I would just quote the lead wetland specialist for the state, Brad Johnson, who testified a couple weeks ago that this application was the most complete, robust, and comprehensive application that he's ever seen during his tenure with the DNR.
Was it unusual that the DNR had requests for additional information? A lot of things that would normally be considered before a permit was issued as part of the conditions of the permit that it gave to Meteor back in May?
It's not unusual for the DNR to, through the permitting process, ask for additional materials. Very commonplace.
I wanted to bring up Marty Alexander, because you mentioned at the beginning of the program, John Bailing, that that the property is going to be destroyed one way or the other. That seems like a pretty interesting argument to make, and I'm wondering, there was a letter that went to the DNR that was from Marty Alexander saying that he had paid this money, he owes the bank, and had to pay within a year, will have to clear-cut the property. Is it that simple that he can just clear-cut this property? And also, I guess what I'm really getting at is, was this letter meant to try to encourage the DNR to act quickly and to approve this permit that Meteor has wanted?
Good question, and two important points here, Rich. First, Marty Alexander, lifetime farmer, 28-year military veteran, really an individual I consider to be salt of the earth. Here's what he testified last week under oath before a judge, and here's what he says. What I'd like to say is I don't want to do it, but I will have to cut all the trees on my property if the project doesn't happen. I don't want to do that. I don't like the way that looks. I don't like what it does to the environment, but I will have to do that in order to survive if this project does not happen. I will not have any other choice but to protect my family and make their life so they're not in debt when I'm gone. Sworn testimony from Marty Alexander.
What did he need to pay the DNR $320,000 for?
He'd gotten into financial trouble back. There was a financial trouble he'd gotten into as it relates to some of his cranberry farming operations.
Was it enforcement actions by the DNR?
Not by the
Army Corps?
Not by the DNR. There was an enforcement action back in the 90s. Marty did have some forfeitures he needed to pay. Unfortunately, cranberry farming is it's not good in the state of Wisconsin in terms of the value cranberries currently have. He was subject to a large flood back in 2014. He's a farmer who's had a hard time making ends meet. In his words, Meteor Timber is a godsend.
The and I don't mean to keep harping on this, but I'm still unsure with regard to the money. He had to buy credits, with our wetland mitigation credits, from banks in the state, and that was because of an enforcement action that the EPA had placed on him?
Correct.
And when was that? What was the nature of the violation?
The nature of the violation was the expansion, I think, the expansion of some cranberry beds back in the 90s that weren't done to code.
Okay. So, Amber Meyer-Smith, I wanted to ask you, you know, you've got this cranberry farmer who's had a rough go of it. He has some financial issues that he has to deal with. Is that pertinent information with regard to this permit? And do you think that it makes the case for moving this along or letting Meteor do its thing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's hard to know what to make of a threat like that. Threats of that nature can be fairly common in the permitting process. I think if you ask DNR experts, they hear that kind of thing a lot from landowners who want to do something and need a permit and sort of say, well, I'm going to, you know, do something else if I can't get this permit. The violation that you mentioned was from the Army Corps of Engineers. It was a six-figure violation. That's kind of unfortunate. It was, I think, for filling wetlands, illegally filling wetland acres. So I guess at the hearing, there were some sentiments expressed that they weren't sure that he could clear-cut the property, that there would probably be other permits associated with clear-cutting. I think we're really not sure what to make of that. We definitely don't accept it as fact that it's going to happen, but, you know, it's something that we're definitely considering as part of this process.
We're talking about the Meteor Timber Project in Monroe and Jackson counties. I'm joined in studio by John Bailing. He's an attorney who represents the company on behalf of Weld Riley Law Firm in Eau Claire. Amber Meyer-Smith joins us from our studios in Madison. She is Director of Programs and Government Relations for Clean Wisconsin. I wanted to ask you, Amber Meyer-Smith, this wetland permit that was initially granted by the DNR back in May of 2017, this has been amended. And Nathan Conrad, he's a lobbyist who is working on behalf of this group trying to, you know, basically there was an exemption that was entered into an bills as an amendment. We'll get to that in a bit. But he said that all this fuss is much ado about nothing because the permit has been amended. So the thing that is in court or before this administrative law judge is basically moot. Is that a fair summation?
No, that's entirely false. We are opposed to the amended permit as well as the original permit. And in fact, you brought up before whether it was odd that the DNR had requested information from the applicant. I think what was odd about that is that the DNR issued a permit and then asked for information and got information. Usually that works the other way. As you might imagine, you want the information before you issue the permit. So they ended up getting that information, and that's what led to the amended permit. So we're very much, the case was all about the amended permit, and that is really the focus of our case as well.
John Bailing, your take on the amended permit versus the permit that is before the judge. Are they two different things, or, you know, so what is your take on that?
Sure, and I'll keep it simple. The amended permit is better. It does include some information that they'd requested, particularly as it relates to soils. So the amended permit is better. And again, I would just reiterate, the extensive amount of information that had been requested as part of this permit is unlike any other permit the DNR has ever required. We heard one person testify on behalf of Clean Wisconsin against the permit, but then even admitted on the stand they'd never read the permit application.
Amber Meyer-Smith, have you got a response to that?
I think that we had plenty of experts that knew the permit intimately that talked about the different red flags and problems with the permit.
Okay, and John Bailing, I wanted to follow up with you. If it's a better permit, the amended version, and it's got this information that the DNR requested, why didn't Meteor just give it to the DNR before the original permit was issued in May?
A lot of new questions came up of the type that I haven't seen before. For example, the ecosystems. The DNR requested Meteor to go above and beyond anything that's ever been asked by any other entity in the permitting game. And so when they go above and beyond, I understand they want us to build the best permit application we can. By all means, we did that.
And the amount of information and additional questions and things that you hadn't seen before, do you think that was reasonable for this project?
You know, I applaud the DNR in terms of they were so thorough. You know, I go back to Brad Johnson, the lead wetland person on this application, and his testimony of it being robust, complete, comprehensive. At the end of the day, I'm very proud of what Meteor Application submitted, and I'm proud of the DNR's analysis. Wetland permitting isn't easy in the state. It shouldn't be easy. But at the end of the day, I think this is a tremendous economic benefit. In fact, we haven't even had a chance to talk about the economics yet. A tremendous economic benefit and really a fully comprehensive permit.
John Bailing is an attorney from Eau Claire representing Meteor Timber and the company's efforts to bring a new frac sand mining plant to a former cranberry farm on the Monroe-Jackson County border. The DNR has permitted the project, but the Ho-Chunk Nation and environmental groups, represented in this interview by Amber Meyer Smith of Clean Wisconsin, are asking a judge to reverse that permit. A decision is expected sometime this spring. WPR's Rich Kramer is conducting the interview. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the merits of a proposed frac sand mine by Meteor Timber at the Monroe-Jackson County line. The Wisconsin DNR has permitted the project, but the permit is being challenged by environmental groups and the Ho-Chunk Nation because of the impact the project would have on 16 acres of rare wetlands. A judge is expected to rule on the permitting process at some point this spring. Our guests include Amber Meyer Smith, Vice President of Programs and Government Relations for Clean Wisconsin in Madison, and Eau Claire attorney John Bailing, who represents Meteor Timber. WPR's Rich Kramer continues the interview.
Meteor had a consultant look at the project and talk about the viability. And this was partially because under wetland laws that were changed, I think, in 2012, if the project can demonstrate an economic benefit for the surrounding area, they can limit the properties the other alternatives that they might have to look at. So first of all, John Bailing, why was it important that Meteor limit the scope of alternatives that it had to look at? And if you could, tell us what those benefits are per the company.
Sure. And what you're referencing, Rich, is a rule change to state law clear back to 2011. Correct. From an economic benefits perspective, and this is one I could frankly talk about all day long, jobs created, 100 jobs created during the peak of construction, 300 jobs, $75 million taxable increment. In Monroe and Jackson County, that's a big number. That is an incredible economic improvement in a part of the state that hasn't always enjoyed the economic development that, for example, in Eau Claire or Madison has enjoyed. Also going along with it are payments to the townships. The two townships unanimously voted to approve the project. They receive annual payments. Even if there's only one pound of sand shipped, each of those townships get a $100,000 payment annually. When you look at a township of that size, that's a 52% increase in GPR to each of those townships. The town of Knapp, Chairman has indicated that they're going to do away with town taxes in the town of Knapp because of that payment. And so when I look at all those economic benefits, and then also look at Meteor Timber as a company. They own 65,000 acres in Wisconsin. All of their acreage is open to hunting, fishing, conservationists, and the public, outdoor enthusiasts of all age. I think Wisconsin's lucky to have a company like Meteor Timber in its back door. Very few private companies allow people to the right to hunt and fish on their property. I applaud Meteor Timber for not only their work in permitting, but also the fact that they keep their property open to the state for the state citizens to enjoy.
Aren't they all, so the property is open to residents of the state. Isn't that as part of state law for them to get certain tax benefits?
Some of their property is enrolled in the managed forestry program, and so they do take advantage from a tax perspective of some of that. But not all of it is. And additionally, snowmobile trails, UTV trails are welcomed, encouraged, and even groomed. So it's a company I applaud in terms of they like Wisconsin. They're going to be in Wisconsin a long time. I think they're good to the state, and I think this project's good for the state.
Amber Meyer-Smith, what's, you know, the contested case hearing or the review before the administrative law judge is about process. Also, there are concerns about the wetlands that will potentially be lost if this project goes ahead. How does Clean Wisconsin or Midwest Environmental Advocates or the petitioners, for that matter, take into account the economics of this project? Because I did speak with the town board chair over in Knapp, and he's looking forward to that $100,000. Not to mention, there would be jobs. The company says there would be about 100 jobs. So how do you square that with your problems with this project and the way it was approved?
I think that we would still see a lot of the same amount of economic benefit and job creation and protect the wetland. They can both be accomplished, and I just can't imagine that this is literally the only place that this facility can be built. There's other options that probably would have been explored with a better process that weren't. And, you know, we're certainly conscious of the job creation and the economic development that's going to be brought. But we really believe that the environment and economic development work hand in hand. They don't work against each other. And I think that's where we've gotten to right now.
Before we get into the legislative stuff that happened within the last month or so, this is preservation, this is restoration, and the restoration is what would be happening to the retired cranberry beds, the way I understand it. The idea is to create the similar kind of wetland to what's being taken. This would be white pine and red maple. Swamp. So one of these DNR staffers went to the property and they took soil samples, and the results found that where the swamp was, where the naturally occurring wetland was, there was 17 inches of organic soil below the water. And while the cranberry beds were sand, because that's what you do, is you use a lot of sand. So this staffer said under those conditions, there was almost no chance that creating a red maple and white pine swamp where the cranberry beds are now is possible. Was she wrong? John Bailey?
Yes. And here's why. Know that through the course of 30 months of permitting, the doors were always open to government regulators to visit the site. Meteor, Marty Alexander were great. CORE came half a dozen times to visit. DNR at one point in one day in particular had at least 12 staffers there, included everyone from their assistant general counsel to virtually all members of their wetland staff. Even when you come on site, you see growing in the cranberry beds white pine, red maple. So the picture's worth 1,000 words in terms of what you see there now. Additionally, in the mitigation plan, it calls for moving within the site of hydric materials just to go ahead and jumpstart the growth of the white pine red maple. And so in terms of there will be some moving of those hydric soils into the future created wetland site in order to jumpstart that. But this spring, Rich, or I should say last summer or last fall, if you're to drive there on any given day, you already see the white pine red maple growing.
Amber Meyer Smith, we've heard the same argument from Nathan Conrad, who is with this this lobbying group on behalf of Meteor and many other companies, that the trees are already growing in this wet in this where the cranberry bogs are, and despite the argument is despite Marty Alexander's best efforts, the trees persist. So is that proof that this kind of mitigation will work and create what is being lost?
It really is not. And in fact, this was discussed, I think, in depth at the hearing on this issue, and both sides summarily dismissed the idea that just because there's a few of the same trees in the area, it does not equate the ability to restore an entire complex wetland ecosystem. This is a wetland ecosystem. It is made up of habitat, plants, soils, as well as the trees. So, you know, the presence of some trees does not equal that ability to restore. And I will add that, you know, according to several DNR experts testifying both for and against this permit, the wetlands in question are considered amongst the highest quality. The experts on both sides indicated that this kind of rare wetland has never been restored in Wisconsin, and even if it could be successfully replicated, it would take up to 300 years. So the idea that the restoration is going to work is definitely in question in this permit process. And I'll add that, you know, this is what the administrative law judge will decide. You know, he heard 5 days worth of this testimony, this kind of back and forth that your listeners are hearing today. There was cross-examination for 5 days. He'll take all of this information, he'll weigh the different testifiers, and he'll make a decision. That decision, you know, we are looking forward to it. We're expecting it soon. But what happened, and I know that you said that you'll get to this, is that Meteor Timber went to the legislature and asked for special legislation to bypass this entire legal process. And that's really troubling, and that is a part of the process that I think speaks to what has happened with this permit all along. It was done through amendments that were slipped in very quietly. There's been no public debate about legislation to allow Meteor Timber to bypass this permit process, and it really is a indication of what has happened here.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the potential siting of a new frac sand mine by Meteor Timber on the border of Monroe and Jackson counties. The DNR has approved the company's plan to fill 16 acres of rare wetlands on a former cranberry farm. The permitting process is being challenged by environmental groups and the Ho-Chunk Nation. A judge is expected to make a ruling in the case this spring. WPR's Rich Kramer continues the conversation.
John Bailing, I'd like to get a response from you regarding the 300-year time frame for, you know, that Amber Meyer Smith claims it would take if it even is possible to recreate this type of wetland.
Sure, and I'll correct Amber on one point because she wasn't at the hearing. There was no current DNR employee that testified that this plan wouldn't work. Two former DNR staffers did testify. One of those had testified. He didn't even read the application. And so we believe the plan will work. A number of the state's wetland experts, in addition to the DNR, testified it will work. Given that, know that there's still a 10-year monitoring plan in place, in addition to bonding that's required, to make sure that the plan's working. Most of the time, it's a six-year plan. On this one, the monitoring period essentially got doubled to 10 years. And on top of that, I'd go back to, we're talking about 16 acres that have been requested to be filled versus hundreds of acres of clear cut. And the clear cutting would essentially have the very same effect in terms of destroying the rare quality of these wetlands.
We're talking about the Meteor Timber wetland application for Monroe County. The company wants to build a sand drying and processing and rail loadout facility, but to do that, it is asking to fill 16 acres of what the DNR has described as high-quality hardwood swamp. It is being reviewed by an administrative law judge in a case that was brought by petitioners from the Ho-Chunk Nation. I'm joined by Amber Meyer-Smith. She is representing the plaintiffs, the petitioners, that is. She is the Director of Programs and Government Relations for Clean Wisconsin. John Bailing is representing the company. He works for, he's an attorney for Weld Riley Law Firm. Now, let's get right to the first call and only call so far this hour. Willem in Colfax, what's on your mind about this project?
Well, I'm troubled by the trying to get around the regulations through the legislative process. I think that's sort of, in my mind, I think that's just flat-out corruption. I know that the Native Americans who occupied this land for thousands of years had this seventh generation, you know, that we should preserve the land for future people to come because we're only here for, you know, a very small amount of time. And I think it's the height of hubris for anyone to think that you can just take this rare wetland and somehow dig some holes somewhere else and recreate this whole habitat, which includes birds and animals and all sorts of amphibians. And it's a very complex system. And to think that you can just recreate that, I think, is the height of hubris. Plus, no frac sand mine has ever been reclaimed into anything like productive land that it was before. And it's just, I think it's just outrageous that this is being proposed. And I think that people who are listening should consider future generations and what are we doing to the land? What is their future going to be like? And as far as this ruins all sorts of other economic activity, you know, tourism, any other kind of activity.
I hear you loud and clear. Thanks for the call. I want to get a response from our guests here. Thank you, Willem and Colfax. Let's talk about that amendment that was introduced. Ron Tussler introduced an amendment twice to two different bills. One was completely unrelated, and the amendment would have exempted Meteor Timber from wetland permitting regulations. Did Meteor ask him to do that? And did you specifically, John Bailing, ask the legislature to act on this?
You know, it appears the Senate won't be returning, so I think the question's moot. However, I'm not surprised the legislature would take the matter up, given that when they hear there's going to be hundreds of acres of wetlands destroyed, that's an important issue. So I'm not surprised they took the question up. And plus, I think there's always a local control component. Three townships voted on this matter. They voted unanimously in favor of it. When this matter went to Jackson County and Monroe County, super majorities approve their applications. So the local control aspect, the fact that hundreds of acres of wetlands could be destroyed, I'm not surprised that there are some legislators that wanted to act.
But you can't say whether or not Meteor asked for it specifically?
Like the Ho-Chunk, like Midwest Environmental, Meteor does have a group of lobbyists representing their interests.
Amber Meyer-Smith, very quickly, we're close to the end of the hour. What's your take on this, the amendment that would have exempted Meteor?
We really think that it is a really bad idea to go to the legislature and get exemptions from the law for any industry. And it kind of speaks to the kind of corporate citizen that Meteor Timber wants to be. You know, we've heard a lot of good things about what they're doing and what they want to do, but if a bill like this were to go through, all it would tell people is if you're well connected enough, you can bypass the law. If you can, you know, make a case and have your lobbyist have some late night amendments slipped into bills, you can be exempted from the same process that everybody else has to go through. And that's really troubling, and it really could open the door to a lot of the same kind of mischief in the legislature.
WPR's Rich Kramer has been talking with Amber Meyer Smith of Clean Wisconsin in Madison and Eau Claire attorney John Bailing about the merits of a proposed frac sand mine on the Monroe-Jackson County border. The Wisconsin DNR has approved a permit for Meteor Timber to fill in some sensitive wetlands, but that permit has been challenged. An administrative law judge from Madison is expected to rule on the merits of the project sometime this spring. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers.